Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
I'm Michelle Martin. We continue our look at what is resonating with investors in 2021. My guest today is Terrence Wong, CEO of Azure Capital. We know that earnings season starts this week in the U.S. with Bank of America, Goldman Sachs Group, Halliburton, and Netflix. Terrence tells us what's on his watch list. Contrarian investor Hexavest sold Apple, Intel, and Microsoft for Neo. So are we expecting electric vehicles and ESG investing as a whole to increase in significance in portfolios? Also, you may have heard of Playtika, a developer of casino and mobile games. They've raised $1.9 billion with their IPO. Just a couple of hours ago, it broke news that Southeast Asia's Grab is considering a US IPO this year. Is there anything on the IPO horizon that our guest is looking at? Well, we'll put those questions to Terrence Wong. Time to welcome him, though. Good morning, Terrence.
Hey, Michelle. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Great to speak with you again. Let's start with 2021 and your outlook for Singapore. So DBS Group expecting our economy to register an expansion of 5.5% in 2021. Our fiscal policy expected to continue to play a very big role this year. We're starting with a difficult fiscal position. Revenue expected to remain weak. We're seeing good numbers in terms of exports and manufacturing expectations. What is your 2021 outlook, Terrence?
Well, that's right, Michelle. I think it's going to be a lot brighter. I mean, you can't really tell from the weather we have right now, but I think the market itself is going to be, a lot better than what it was in 2020. SPI last year was the worst performer in the region, as it is deemed to be very, very boring. You know, it was a value kind of sector, giving very, very decent yields of over 4%. So it was largely ignored by the investing community until November, when people, or at least the funds, started to come back. Retail investors also started to pump their money into the market because it looked cheap. So I think there's some rotation back into value, and STI is going to be a big beneficiary of that. And when the fund actually starts to flow in, you know, there's kind of more momentum and more spirits. A lot of people are talking about, STI should hit, you know, 3,002, 3,003. But like I said, when the money starts to flow in, it can take a lot of its own. And we don't just go with, you know, the typical, like, 12, 13, 14 times PE. So it may overshoot. So that's the good news. And on the rising tide, you know, the usual suspects like the banks, property, manufacturing companies, all should bounce up quite nicely. In fact, the banks have already done so. So I'm not sure whether is it riding ahead of the fundamentals. But that said, even with the rally that started in November, taking on a lot more momentum in December, January, we are still about 20% lower than our all-time peak in 2007. And the same cannot be said of, you know, other indices, which has really broken their record back in 2020. So we still have some way to go. I am not too sure whether we're going to hit record this year. But of course, some of the potential dampeners would be because the other, you know, regional as well as global indices in the U.S., they have hit they were very, very fierce in 2020. They are at record highs. So it takes very little to bring it down. And when that happens, Singapore may fall in sympathy.
Okay, so we've seen the STI flirt with the 3,000 mark. I dropped 14 points to 29.9 yesterday, 0.5% yesterday down, close just below the 3,000 mark. It is currently at 3,005 this morning at 10:11 on the clock. So you see more upside for the blue chip index.
For the stock market in general, there's certainly upside. And I think the interest have returned. We're talking about real interest, not just the punting one. So it's across the board, which I think is going to be good and positive for the market. And I think some of the sectors, of course, I think investors are very, very keen on will be those that will actually benefit from the vaccine. Now with the new variants, I think that some things may change, but then they are out there looking for vaccine winners, which could include guys in the consumer play, as well as the travel guys, the hospitality industries, those that have been hit the hardest, you know, the lockdown losers becoming the vaccine winners. I think one sector that has garnered a lot of attention last year were the glove makers.
Yes.
And I think, and we've spoken on this extensively on your program, Michelle. Mm. I feel that people are now throwing, or at least like dumping glove makers for a couple of reasons. One is, of course, the big guy like Top Glove is facing a lot of government scrutiny because of the COVID conditions in their dorms. And also, they believe that, you know, with the with the vaccine coming through, there's really no need for or at least the glove demand will actually like fall off. But that isn't to happen, because I think that in the long run, because of COVID, that has really changed. There's a structural change in the ways hospitals or, you know, like governments look at how we should be using the gloves, and I think that this will be here to stay. So the demand will actually stay high, and in the near term, this is aided by the fact I think the prices will be very, very firm. In fact, it will hit north, because the likes of Top Glove have already shut down a lot of the factories, and this has created sort of a supply crunch.
Terence Wong is CEO of Azure Capital. Some investors looking in this low interest rate environment at high quality investment grade bonds, for example, anything a better option than idling cash. What are you telling investors need to be the cornerstone of their approach for this year?
Well, I think it's really to I think if you look at the broad based companies, like I said, those that are the bellwethers of the economy, those are worth putting your money in, and selectively we can look at some of the mid and small caps. In fact, because I really enjoy looking at the small cap space in SG, on the SGX. Mm. Unfortunately, over the last few years, that has not been exactly the flavor of the day. I believe that there will be some interest flowing back. But of course, when you want to invest in the small cap, you've got to be very, very careful about the volume. A lot of things do look cheap, or still look cheap right now. So they start to lift it up, they buy into it, the prices surge. But when the music stops, that's when, you know, a lot of guys get caught. They cannot get out. So I would like to look at companies with sustained history, that's very, very sound management, that is trading for a song, and that have been dishing out dividends consistently over the last, you know, like 5-10 years.
Okay, great insights there, Terence. Thanks for that. Let's switch over to the U.S., where earnings season is ramping up, starting with Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, on Wednesday, Morgan Stanley, Procter & Gamble, United Airlines Holdings, and United Health Group all report. What are you looking at? What is on your watch list? U.S. banking stocks, I know, are expected to do well because of a shorter impact on books than previously anticipated, say some of the analysts on this show. But what is on your watch list?
Well, if you look at the profits, right, they seem to be very strong for the dozen or so companies that reported the results. There may be some in the near term. I think there's some near-term excitement over the results. There could be some near-term excitement over the results. That, you know, there's validation for the recovery. The recovery is real. But it is also important to note that indices like S&P 500, which is a benchmark index, right, that has surged 70% from its trough in March. And it is now currently trading at about 23 times forecast earnings. That's close to the highest multiple since the dot-com era. So with such lofty heights, I think it doesn't take a lot to bring it down. Of course, we cannot see it right now. And I think most investors don't really look at that because I feel that there's some euphoria. I mean, some of the optimism is real and validated, but then generally I think that's euphoria over the market, and that's where I think people are a little bit cautious.
Okay. Now, Hexavest of Montreal in the news because it slashed each of its positions in Apple, Intel, and Microsoft stock by about a third and initiated a stake in Chinese electric vehicle maker NIO in the fourth quarter. Are you expecting electric vehicles and ESG investing in particular to gain in momentum this year?
Well, if you look at Tesla, you've got to believe in it, right? But Tesla, again, is one of those amazing stocks. You think that, you know, it has hit a high every week, but then it continues to surprise you. In fact, but I do feel that, you know, the valuations there are expensive. I don't know where's the high. You know, that said, it could, like, jump another 20-30%. But that's not somewhere I would like to put my money in. But generally, as a theme, I think electric vehicles is one of those that, you know, that will be hot in 2021 and definitely beyond. The largest market is China, and if you look at the numbers there, it's mind-boggling. It's expected to grow 32% year-on-year in 2021 on the back of more models in the market. The rising there is a genuine rising popularity. And people are actually switching from, you know, the normal gas-powered cars to electric vehicles. So I feel that be a very, very strong team going forward, except that I think investors do have to be cautious about what companies they look at. Again, I would encourage people to look at the fundamentals of it all.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of like... look at some of the potential or at least like the two or three biggest guys that will gain a very big market share in the next 3 to 5 years.
And, you know, some analysts we've been speaking to say ESG investing is now entering a real mainstream phase. Does that hold true for you?
Yes, definitely. I mean, from the investors I speak to, and these are some of the big investors, in fact, right now, the first thing that they look at really is not how good the company is or the fundamentals of the company. It's really does it sort of like comply with ESG. And increasingly, it is not only the traditional big funds, but also the family offices, the second generation guys that's coming, taking over, you know, their parents' portfolio. These guys are running family offices, $150 million and above, right?
Mm-hmm.
They are also putting it as one of the key determinants. In fact, the first step in determining whether they want to put money in their investment. So ESG is definitely real, and I think it is another one of those, it is one of the key themes going forward.
All right, let's switch now to China's economy. The latest stats are out. We see the Chinese economy grew 2.3% in 2020, certainly better than how the US, Europe and Japan did. Well, you know, in terms of sectors leading China's economic recovery, is there anything in the country that you like as an investor?
Well, China, I know some investors are really looking into the traditional field I hear people saying that, property there, the property stocks there are very, very interesting. But, of course, investors do have to be mindful that that there are these three red lines that the state-run media in China have been talking about. The metrics on debt that developers will have to meet if they want to borrow more. And China has, I think, 7 out of the most indebted property developers globally, 7 out of the 10. So it is something that I think investors, it is a treacherous view. But of course, if it's riding tight, really the property guys will also run. But, you know, I would like to take safer bets. And safer bets will come in the form of new economy plays. We are talking about consumption, innovation, technology. These guys are now account for about 16% of China's GDP, where before, not too long ago, it was just half that. And I think that, you know, if you are looking into this field, some of the sectors that they should concentrate on will be, you know, guys that are focused on internet, on IT, the systems integration, consumer plays, as well as healthcare sectors.
All right. Well, thank you for your insights. Great speaking to you as always. Terrence Wong is CEO of Azure Capital joining us here on Money FM 89.3.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.